Dan Wright is the co-founder and president CEO of Armada, a company that is moving at lightning speed to try and serve the needs of many in the defense world. We're talking about Space Force, Space Development Agency, the Air Force, as well as private companies, schools and universities. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. They have a new partnership to announce today with a company that is a mega manufacturer of drones. So that's a good partnership. Dan, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, Scott. Great to see you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. And you spent the better part of a month spending a lot of time in North Dakota as a company that is relatively new but could have customers around the globe. Tell us why you're in North Dakota.
Because this is where the action is. This is, number one, where the energy is, which, as we know, is the biggest blocker to intelligence factories. But it's also a tremendous opportunity for the state and for the country. One of the things that we talked about, Scott, last time I was on your show was this winning the AI race summit that I was at with the president when he spoke back in July. And we were talking about how we need to beat China in this global AI race. Ultimately, that is going to be determined by how quickly can we deploy AI infrastructure, start using it in our operations, ranging from, you know, defense, as you said, to energy, and then export that American AI stack faster than China can via Huawei and others. And I believe that North Dakota is going to be critical for all of those things. And so that's why we're here.
So you mentioned a event with the president. I know you had lunch with the vice president, and this is to my point. You could be in those meetings, and you're in North Dakota. Do they understand North Dakota's role in this?
Absolutely. I mean, Scott, in D.C. last week, I was there for Impact 25, and we were showing a video that we prepared, which I think you've seen, and just talking about the opportunity in North Dakota, and I saw a lot of nodding heads. Everybody immediately got it. And the reason is, again, the energy is here, and you have land, and you have the will. You also have things like, I think, a very aligned population that sees that opportunity is ready to seize it, which is maybe the most important thing. You have the right people here. And so we really believe, and I think everybody that we're talking to in the administration and in Congress believes that there's a tremendous opportunity to help the state while also helping the country with these intelligence factories.
So, Kev, you'll get this analogy, and you'll probably find a song that aligns with this, but, you know, they talk about the beauty of the ball, right?
Yep.
You go to the ball, and there's one very lovely.
The bell of the ball, yep.
The bell of the ball, okay. Well, North Dakota was the bell of the ball at the event he's talking about. And it was so odd, because Dan invited me along, and amazing host. Is it the Hay Adams? I mean, you can't get a more prestige location.
Top of the Hay.
Yeah, top of the Hay. You're looking literally at the White House from nine stories up, and I couldn't have more people come up and want to come to North Dakota than were at that event. It was so bizarre because I came there late. I wanted to listen and learn, but the amount of people that wanted to talk about, partially because of the video, partially because of Armada's enthusiasm for North Dakota, but you're not wrong, and you're not just pumping sunshine up our skirt.
No.
North Dakota is at the epicenter of this.
Absolutely. And, I mean, we were fortunate to have Secretary Burgum, Doug Burgum, give the keynote Monday night at the event. He is the ultimate evangelist for North Dakota. But, I mean, again, a lot of nodding heads. Everybody gets it. We met with Secretary Wright while we were there as well. We showed him this video. And said, hey, you know, North Dakota, we have a tremendous opportunity for the country to really, I think, sprint, move fast. We like to say speed kills and, really extend our lead versus China in this global AI race. And also, I think the impacts in terms of the citizens here, in terms of the economic boom that it can help facilitate and what that can mean to, taxes and other benefits without impacting electricity bills, because we can use behind the meter power. You know, people immediately get that is a real opportunity here, given you have about 2 gigawatts of natural gas that can be used to power these intelligence factories here in the state.
Yeah, and what Dan is saying there is extraordinarily important, because this is, I believe, by the way, you're right, that most citizens can grasp this as a thing that could help bring their kids and grandkids back.
That's right.
I think most people that are sort of the quiet majority, if you will, they're sitting back, they're watching this. There is a element of people that are skeptical about what you just said. When you say taxes, they think they're going to pay higher taxes so that roads and bridges can be built around data centers. they're thinking, you know, you win and they lose, right? That they're at the bottom of the teeter-totter. And so when you talk about taxes, you're talking about lowering taxes. You're talking about no property taxes. You're talking about no income taxes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's right. And creating great jobs here in the state. You know, what we're going through right now, a lot of people talk about, is the fourth industrial revolution. And you think about the first industrial revolution that, you know, took place back in the 18th century or started in the 18th century. It was characterized by the rise of manufacturing, of factories. This is the same thing, and probably even at a, you know, potentially bigger scale with this rise of AI, rise of intelligence. But instead, they're intelligence factories. We call them intelligence factories for a reason. And the jobs that are going to be jobs that are going to continue to grow, continue to pay well, there's going to be a tremendous amount that come out of this boom with these intelligence factories, this fourth industrial revolution, and North Dakota has a huge opportunity to lead.
And I started to talk about the people of North Dakota. I think the vast majority, again, quiet majority, are patriots, right? They get up every day. They probably have DNA of a grandfather or a father that literally fought in world wars.
Yes.
And they are patriots. They want America to win. And if you have no other reason to consider why you ought to support intelligence factories in North Dakota, it's so we win versus China.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, personally, I find that incredibly motivating. I think I showed you some pictures of my grandfather who served in World War II. And we believe that we need to win. If you win in the AI race, you win. And that's kind of it. And if you lose, you lose. And in 5 years, and I said this at the Winning the AI Race Summit, I gave an interview there. I said, in 5 years, we're going to run on one of two AI stacks. It's either going to be the American stack or it's going to be the Chinese AI stack. And it all comes back to, we have to move fast because China is moving extremely fast. We have to move faster in order to win that race.
And so you know, folks, Dan and what he does, which we need to talk about because you're different. You have less bricks and mortar.
Yes.
You have less impact on the land.
Exactly.
And your secret sauce is these mobile intelligence factories that deploy to places that are, not in neighborhoods.
That's right.
Right. So, and I think that's one of the things that impacts people. We need to spend some time talking about that. But you could sell what you do to China. Now, they wouldn't care. They'd put them in neighborhoods, and they'd literally kill people if they had to move people out, right?
Yeah.
But you could be selling to them. Why are you selling it to us?
Well, never going to happen. We're a proud American company, and we are all in to help the country, but we also believe that this is a huge opportunity at an individual level. Like, I really do believe that people and states can benefit massively from this technology.
You announced a mega partnership today that I think people need to know about it. And every conversation I learn about a new partner that Dan is working on, Microsoft is a partner, Anduril, run by the great patriot, Palmer Luckey, General Atomics, some great partners that help you do what you need to do to get into a speed kill mode.
Absolutely.
And you have a new one that was recently in North Dakota, in Medora, actually.
That's right.
And you have an official partnership. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so really excited today to announce our Skydio partnership with Skydio, which is a large U.S. manufactured drone company. And that is, I think, actually a great example, and we're going to talk about some of the use cases of what is possible with these intelligence factories. You talked about Medora. One of the things that we actually showed in Medora with Skydio is the ability to rapidly deploy one of these intelligence factories. You know, you can just put it on the back of a truck, pull up, drone takes off, can survey thousands of acres around a site for, anything from just safety to disaster response, being able to find people when you need to in real time. Another example is what we're doing actually with the state of Alaska DOT, and this is public, with Skydio, where they had an issue processing all the data from the drones. These things generate massive amounts of data. And what was happening, and this is what happens if you don't have an intelligence factory that's locally deployed, all that data has to be sent back to the cloud, and then you have to parse through it to figure out what's going on and how do you respond to it. And that oftentimes causes a lot of latency, sending it to some faraway data center. By deploying the intelligence factories on the ground, we can use all that data in real time in a way that is much faster, much cheaper, and then more flexible, because these things can keep moving wherever you need them. Whenever you need them, they're there.
So think about this. This could be a farmer, instead of leasing space for, I don't know, a radio tower, which, by the way, we need, right? So we have four towers near Barnesville, Minnesota. We happen to own that land. But many times, you know, you ask a farmer, can I put this in, crappy is the wrong word, but less than productive farmland.
Yeah.
Right? And then I'll put a tree line around it, and you won't even know it's there.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about.
You could put it literally anywhere, and you don't even need fiber because we have a partnership with Starlink. We can put these literally anywhere. You do all the data processing locally. You can also have a private 5G connection right there on site, and then you can use Starlink for the backhaul. So they are designed to be permanently mobile. They're designed to be flexible. And one really nice thing is you can try it, and then as you see the benefits of it, you can do more, right, versus having to make a massive upfront investment before you see the value. So it's really a nice way to quickly get started with, you know, what is going to be a game-changing technology with AI, and then as you see the benefits, you continue to do more and more.
So Hartwood, North Dakota is right now going through a bit of change related to a large data center, intelligence factory, as you would call it, and they need land, they need water, and they need a lot of construction activity to build a bricks and mortar data center.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, moving dirt, which they already are, bringing in cement and building a massive facility. Now, there's good things in that for Harwood.
Yeah.
Their tax base will be much improved.
Yeah.
Right? The city of Fargo is saying we'll help with that. Not necessarily in a good neighborly way, but that's another conversation. You avoid all that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's literally like parking. So you just tell us where the land and the power is and the data is, and we bring the intelligence factory there. And then if needs change in the future, move it to a different site. So again, very, very flexible. And the ability to have, we like to say, blinking lights on the ground within weeks versus, you know, years is a huge benefit. I mean, you've seen it even at this event. We have one of the intelligence factories right outside there, right outside the UAS summit. I mean, that didn't take months or years or a lot of disruption. It literally took, you know, days to get this thing here. You're up and running and you start to see the value.
And by the way, was it Grand Sky for one night and then came to the Alaris Center?
We've been getting around.
Yeah.
Getting around North Dakota.
And it might even be at NDSU soon, I heard. I don't know. you're leaning in. You were spending literally a couple hours yesterday with the University of North Dakota officials. Describe
yes.
that.
That was great. I mean, I was very impressed with just the quality of the education for students and the hands-on training that they're getting. I see a lot of people, I talk to a lot of people in education, and I have three young kids of my own. And one of the things I think about is how do I get them and get, you know, people that may end up working at Armada or could work at Armada hands-on training before they come out of school. And that was my biggest takeaway from UND. We saw what they're doing, you know, in the areas of rockets, you know, robotics, bridges, you know, even mining. The ability to get hands-on training solving real-world problems before you graduate is something that's, you know, really unique and I think special about the university.
I am trying to find a text that came in earlier. I'll paraphrase it, though, to say Matt Walsh, who's a conservative influencer, and others are saying AI is literally the Antichrist, that it is going to, you know, disrupt lives as we know it. My argument is you can like it or not like it, it's here.
Yeah.
And again, it can be China or it can be us.
Yeah.
You're not going to stop the freight train.
No.
But to your point about your kids and my kids and opportunities, a lot of people think AI means I don't need people.
Yeah.
Right? That you know, literally it's going to mean a major disruption in the workforce because I can do the job with AI of 100 people. Is that correct?
No, and you made an important point there first, which is it's happening, period. And, you know, the example I go back to, again, is the first industrial revolution, right? If we don't embrace that change and lead it.
Which was very difficult for Americans.
Very difficult. But if we don't embrace that change and lead it, we no longer lead the world.
Right.
We lose our place in the world.
And by difficult, I mean the change was difficult.
Yeah.
No, the outcome was incredible.
Incredible, right?
Yeah.
And it had impact on everything from GDP, massive impact, to, you know, individual people's lives, to ultimately wars, right? And the same thing is going to happen with the fourth industrial revolution. The only difference is we're building intelligence factories. The end product is intelligence. But the second point that you made is, oh, you know, and I hear this a lot. I think it's kind of like a hangover from the old Terminator movies. People think AI is going to come and get them. I don't think that's going to happen.
I was just going to say, Dad, as soon as the Cyberdyne Systems company shows up, I'm going off grid, brother. That's all I'm telling you.
You got your bunker already, so you're all
set. He does have the lakeside bunker.
Got your bunker. Yeah. No, but it, honestly, it's like giving people superpowers. And I think one benefit now and the reason why this wave is happening so fast is people have some experience, everyday people, right? So you take, you know, ChatGPT, it only launched a few years ago, you know, things like Grok. People are now used to using them to give themselves superpowers. The things that used to take you hours or days can take you minutes. Doing deep research, creating, you know, presentations, stories, you can do that all in real time, even images.
The way I say it is, you know, when we use AI as a company, it's like having 10 more employees, but we don't lay off employees. I'd hire 10 more tomorrow if I could find them.
Exactly.
So,
And for a lot of these jobs in critical industries, you can't hire enough people.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Dan Wright, co-founder Armada, we'll be hearing a lot more from him.